Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Welcome to the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we brave scanning the net to find all the deep history and lore of cyberpunk.
I'm Toasty, a fixer that's new to Night City with a desire to jump into the details of this gritty setting.
And I'm Genesis, an old school media tech with a love of character deep dives.
Together, we will bring you the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future.
We've got incoming. Let's Delta. Welcome back, Chooms, to another episode of the Cyberpunk Lorecast. I'm your girl, Genesis, and with me, as always, is Toasty.
Hello.
Hello. So, Toasty, last week we talked about being out in the Badlands. And this week, I want to know, are there any rivers in the Badlands?
Well, technically speaking, there is a river who's occasionally in the Badlands, but it's not.
Well, his apartment, or I mean, his trailer is out in the Badlands, and he grew up out in the Badlands. I think it counts. River Ward is totally from the Badlands.
Fair enough. I mean, you're not wrong.
So why don't we take this week to deep dive into river? I want to take a swim in the river. Let's dive in.
That's pretty good. That actually works really nicely with it being river, to deep dive into river. Well, hopefully we're super careful, because I think after this episode you might realize it's kind of a shallow river. Not to his fault. But
yeah, you're not wrong.
But we'll go ahead and we'll start with his 2077 database entry. I was also just thinking about the Valentine cards that they released recently, and he had like the most disappointing one too, didn't he?
Oh, he did.
It was rough. They're in the Lorecast chat.
They are. Okay, so from CD Projekt Red, this one came from TikTok. And it says, it's a picture of River. He's looking good. And it's obviously like some form of like Tinder. I don't know. I've never had to use a dating app, but I'm assuming this is what it looks like. There's an X on one side and a heart on the other side. So swipe which way you want. And it says, about me. Loving uncle and NCPD detective, looking for a partner in crime fighting. If you know your way around a gun, I'll let you handle mine. And then 3 winky face emoji. No.
God. We already know our way around your gun, because you give it to us at the end of your quest line, River, so... Not really doing whole much about it. Depending. But anyways, starting with his database entry, River Ward thought that nothing could top becoming an NCPD detective. I mean, he let V top, so... But I mean, what side? that things could only get easier from there. Well, turns out that always doing the right thing in Night City is harder than just getting a title. Every day for River is a moral struggle. Either he plays the game or he gives up a slice of his soul. If he lets his guard down for even 1 second, some ganger will get the best of him. In spite of all this, River shows up for work every morning with a can-do attitude. Maybe it's his way of coping, or because he doesn't know how to do anything else.
All right. So let's go over some standard biographical information. River Ward is also known as Riv. He lives out in the Kutcher home, and he is male with black hair and brown eyes. We know a little bit about his family. His previous partner was Yawen Packard, considered an ex-girlfriend now. And then, of course, V, girlfriend, dependent on your choices. His relatives include an unnamed mother who is dead, an unnamed father who is dead, Joss Kutcher, his sister, Randy Kutcher, his nephew, Monique, the niece, Dorian, another nephew, and an unnamed deceased brother-in-law. Being around River does not seem good for your health.
I mean, yeah, no, for sure. We'll get into that. This tends to drown a lot of people, I guess. Yeah, I'm going to keep on doing these fucking river puns the whole goddamn episode. And I don't care.
Go for it. We'll count a tally by the end of the show.
Mm-hmm. All right. So some of his affiliations and such, he is, of course, is and was a member of NCPD. He is a detective, formerly, and can then become a private investigator. And for his role, as in like his cyberpunk role, is a lawman. And I just found this out recently, and I was so shook because I can't hear it at all. He's voiced by Robbie Damon.
Where might people know that name from?
Well, he is a pretty proficient voice actor, but my start for knowing him was from the Critical Role Xandria Unlimited series / Critical Role Campaign 3, because he did stretch into that as a Dorian Storm.
Ah, okay.
He's also done other voice acting things. I know he's done some voice acting in the Vox Machina show. It looks like he has done, in addition to that, it looks like he's done some of the dubbing in Jujutsu Kaisen as Megumi Fushiguro. He's done some voices in Starfield, in Diablo, Demon Slayer for the dub. There's a lot of anime games and such. So you probably have heard his name before. He was in Horizon Forbidden West. It was pretty like this. So pretty proficient in some big projects.
All right. That's awesome.
He's also a very sexy, sexy man.
He is quite attractive.
Yes, he is. But, you know, but we're not here to talk about Robbie Damon. Well, we're here to talk about an aspect of Robbie Damon, I guess. But as for River, he also has a slim bit of equipment. So for cyberware, he has cyber optic. I don't know if y'all noticed. And he has a cyber hand. Also don't know if y'all noticed. He has the ability to use a combat stem and flashbangs. So in situations where you get into a scrap, which, you know, you probably wouldn't notice because most of the time your V is killing people so quickly that it never comes up. But should it happen, yeah. He uses a weapon, a pistol he calls Crash, and he drives a Thornton Mackinac MTL-1, that big old truck he's got. Anyways, why don't you tell us a little bit about River's early life?
That I can do. Growing up, River and his sister Joss's parents ran a small farm. Eventually, though, it went out of business as larger corporations took over the agriculture industry. His parents took to running a small grocery store instead, and the family of four lived in the apartment area above it.
Until one day, some drugged-up thugs broke in looking for cash, and when they didn't find any in the store, went into the living quarters and demanded money from their father, who swore they didn't have anything else. Which, to be fair, the chances of them having money probably actually still pretty slim. Not liking this response, one of the thugs killed their father and then put a gun in River's hand and had him point it at his own mother's head, demanding he shoot and kill her. River stalled, terrified, to the point The thug gave up trying to bait the child and took the gun and killed their mom himself before the thugs ran off, leaving River and Joss alive, but now parentless.
Holy childhood trauma.
Yeah, that's so, it's wild. This is fucking like deceased blood like leaking out across the floor, father, like right next to you while some thug is yelling at you to kill your own mom. It's all wild. It's so wild. I put an H in wild. The siblings were sent off to an orphanage to be cared for, but the NCPD never caught the thugs who killed their parents. This was a lack of justice. River saw this as a complete incompetency regarding the NCPD and made it his goal to become a detective to solve cases like what happened to his family. How noble.
I mean, but also, like, really, he could have gone a really bad path with that. With that level of childhood trauma, you can definitely go down the wrong path. So I think it's really admirable of him to be able to take the high road, I guess, and try and make Night City a better place. Now, getting into those adult years, sometime prior to 2077, River had become an NCPD detective and was first partnered with Jamie Sheen. But Jamie later unalived over his frustration with how the top brass cared more about bribes rather than upholding the law. River continued serving as a detective, though, and sometime later was partnered with another detective named Harold Hahn, and even worked with well-established people like Jefferson Perales.
Meanwhile, his sister Joss had married an Alta Caldo with whom she had three children, Randy, Dorian, and Monique. With his brother-in-law not being much of a father figure, River would step in and help take care of the children, particularly when he once caught his brother-in-law with one of his young sons, Dorian, at a dive bar in the middle of the night. So the detective took his nephew home, much to his brother-in-law's ire. When Joss's husband later died, River continued to try and help support her and her children by buying them a new trailer to live in, which resulted in Randy taking over the old one as his own place. However, River and Joss eventually had a falling out sometime before 2077 over River's driven desire to bring justice for his victims' cases to the point it was all he could talk and think about with little regard for his own family issues.
Now, at one point in 2077, he got a solid tip that Mayor Lucius Rhine's life was in danger, and he had set out to speak with the mayor's security when a cyber psycho, Peter Horvath, attacked right after River got there. Now, River managed to incapacitate the would-be attacker before they could find and kill the mayor and the deputy mayor, Weldon Holt. But Rhine ended up dying anyways later that day from a separate heart problem. This odd coincidence didn't go unnoticed by River, and he really had no way to link the two incidents, especially as his superior ordered him to drop the case, and even his partner Harold warned him not to reopen it.
You really tried to dam that river.
That's another plus one to the counter.
Look, I mean, all I'm saying is that the superiors and his partners should really learn not to go against the current.
I mean, the river can't be stopped.
Yeah, I mean, about to wash everyone downstream. If B completes, I fought the law. River got a call soon after from B, who was being tasked by the Paralyses to find out what really happened to Rhine, as they had their own suspicions about his untimely death. Together, River and V tracked down the Red Queen's Race, an invitation-only sex club that Rhine had visited on the night of his death. They learned that Rhine had died in the club from a virus-spiked brain dance, and Deputy Mayor Weldon Holt had ordered Detective Hahn to cover it up. While V reported the findings to the Paralyses, River decided to try and reopen the inquest into Rhine's death. However, when he confronted Hahn about his own actions and the cover-up, he was told once more to drop it. Undeterred, he decided to take it up with his superiors, but ultimately got suspended from the force instead.
Hmm. So you can't stop the river, but you can divert it instead?
Yeah.
All right. Now, while he was suspended, he came to believe that his missing nephew, Randy Kutcher, had been abducted by Anthony Harris, the man behind the Peter Pan child abductions. After seeing a video where Anthony was being chased by NCPD before being shot, while one of his newer victims in the video had Randy's shoes on. However, while Anthony was still alive, he was comatose, preventing the NCPD from determining where his other victims were being kept. Dismayed that the Peter Pan case was assigned to Detective Gonigal, who was unlikely to pursue it seriously, River asked V to help him out so that he could rescue Randy, but also conveniently leaving out that he'd been suspended from the force.
Would you say that V was caught in the undertow?
Oh, God. Now I... Damn it. Caught in the undertow. Just caught in the undertow.
Yeah, that's what my brain was like thinking about, too.
More like just, like, swept up in the drama.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. That's fair. Got to keep your head above water. Anyways, if V agrees to help with the hunt, which is this quest line, together they infiltrated an NCPD contracted medical lab in the Glen, which had been experimenting with scrolling brain dances of dreams for therapeutic and investigative purposes, hoping to examine any brain dances of Anthony's dreams. They were confronted by Dr. Yawen Packard, an old girlfriend of Rivers, who revealed that Anthony was not dreaming due to his condition. With no other leads, River decided to break the news that Randy had been abducted to Joss and search Randy's room for clues to his whereabouts leading up to his disappearance, as well as any sensory stimulus that could be used to make Anthony dream. They found Randy had a new laptop and had come into contact with Anthony through a secret site hidden on a false website for people looking to kick their drug abuse habits. Thanks to a cartoon that Randy had downloaded from the site, Yawen was able to trigger Anthony's dreams.
To be honest, this whole quest line was actually pretty cool. I liked doing the actual like detective work and finding clues and figuring shit out. Yeah.
I just don't like the brain dances. It's just getting to be a pain in the ass.
Brain dance mechanics for sure. But I think you can skip all of them now.
But like if it's part of a quest line, you still have to kind of do it.
Mm.
Yeah. You can skip like the tutorial one, I believe. If that's the only one.
Got it.
Tutorials.
Now, if not enough clues were found and V guessed the wrong farm, this is almost the worst option. River and V will drive to the poppy farm where they defeat some wraiths and quickly see that it is the wrong one. Finally arriving at Edgewood Farm, both find out that they came too late and that Randy is dead. River collapses and later gets angry with V, regretting that he did not hire a professional instead.
But that's your job.
Right? And also,
like, you're looking at it, we're doing all the detective work in this fucking thing, and it's like, you literally are a detective. It's your whole fucking job, bro. Why are we putting in the work here?
And you hired me as a merc. I'm pretty sure that I killed the wraiths for you. We just didn't know that these were the wrong people that needed to die. It's not my fault.
I just think it's funny.
Now, River vows to kill Anthony Harris with or without V's help. And sometime later, he will send a text message to V, notifying them that the deed is done and bidding a final goodbye. River later gets into a bar fight with somebody who is talking badly about Anthony's victims, which lands him in the precinct prison in Little China. From there, he leaves a video message played during the end credits, and asks V to come bail him out. Sorry, son, if you're gonna yell at me,
it's just goofy. I mean, I've never had this, obviously, because you have to like kind of purposely miss all the clues in order to like achieve this, like, and they make it pretty fucking obvious, like which clues there are or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just think it's funny. Now, if enough clues were found or V guessed the right farm to locate Randy, but V abandoned the search, because apparently this is an option too. With V's help, River was able to deduce that Anthony must have been using Edgewood Farm to hold his victims. But V chose not to go any further in assisting River. In turn, River headed out on his own to rescue Randy, but ill-prepared for the defenses Anthony had set up around the farm, he was summarily killed and wasn't able to save Randy.
Yeah, that's unfortunately the worst option. But, I mean, it's the same thing that happens with Pan Am and Saul. If you don't go with Pan Am, Saul dies and cuts off the rest of her quest line. Same thing here with River. Now, if you did all the things correctly, good job! And with V's help at analyzing the brain dances, River was able to deduce that Anthony must have been using Edgewood Farms to hold his victims. The two set out to the farm, which was now heavily armed, but managed to get through the defenses and rescue Randy and several other victims that Anthony had been force-feeding and injecting with hormones via equipment designed for livestock. I have to say that this is one of the most disturbing scenes I've seen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's a real fucked up questline. While they had managed to rescue his nephew, River still felt that Anthony should die for what he did to all his victims. Yeah, probably. With this in mind, he went to the hospital where the comatose murderer was being kept and put his gun against the man's head, intent on killing him. As he stood there, though, he had flashbacks to his childhood when the thug tried to make him shoot his mother and realized he'd be no better than that thug if he went through with the execution. With that, he left the hospital, letting Anthony live. A short time later, River invited V over for dinner with his family.
It would have been a dark day trauma.
It's like Katara.
I just want to go like the happy little rainbow. Trauma.
Pretty much those are in my mind. She kind of is like exactly like Katara.
Okay, now here we go. As they hung out together before their jambalaya cookout, River eventually revealed to V how he has decided to not kill Anthony, explaining what happened to his parents caused him to not go through with it. The two enjoyed the rest of the night, having dinner with his family and playing games. The little shooter game with the kids is fun. As Joss and the kids start to make comments regarding V's romantic life, Joss being curious about a male V herself, or pointing out River's affection for a female V, River decided to rescue V from that ambush, taking them up on the adjacent water tower to enjoy the view. There, River gifted V his revolver, Crash, noting it carried too many bad memories for him. You can't just hand over your trauma. You need therapy, bro. I'm sorry. But getting rid of your gun is probably a good thing.
Look, Jin, he's just trying to wash away all his sins, you know?
Okay. What have I become? I can't get that song out of my head now. It's your fault. Why don't we go into the mid-break and maybe I'll play the song and hopefully get it out of my head.
Fair enough. And welcome to the middle of the show. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Why am I doing this? Nobody knows. We just like to shout out thank you to our patrons, especially to a new patron, Rock. Just Rock.
Hi, let Rock. It rock? Is it let it
what rock? What kind of rock? I need to know what kind of rock you are. Please let me know. I have a bunch in my closet. Are you in my closet, Rock? Get out of my closet. Anyways, but that brings us to a total of 14. Thank you. We appreciate all of you greatly. We do not have any new reviews, but if you'd like to leave a review, you can do so on Apple Podcasts or pretty much anywhere you can listen to the show. We will find it. We will read it if you leave a 5-star with words. And if you do leave us a 5-star with words on Apple, your Cyberpunk DM owes you 10 IP per Jake Wright. Because we don't make the rules, but he does. Am I missing anything? I don't think so. I usually, do you have anything else to add?
I have my own rocks. They are pretty.
But that's about all we have for this damn mid-break. So, you get it? Because, you know, like you put a dam in the middle of a river to stop it. And that's what we did. We did it.
We did it. Yeah. Pretty good. All right. Do you want to take a guess on how many river? Should we dive back into the show? Wade back into the waters.
Those ones feel too easy, but yeah. I mean, pretty much. Grab your tubes. We're going. No.
My tubes.
No. Grab your tubes. We're going whitewater rafting. Let's get into the romance.
The romance? How about we get into a little bit of rejection first?
The way I like it.
Now, if V is male and tries to kiss River while sitting atop that water tower, River will react startled. Which is bullshit, by the way, because every single dialogue option is the exact same and River responds the exact same way to a male V until this very moment.
Yeah.
And it causes V to say, look, no need to explain. I get it. And it's fine. Yeah, because rejected right to your face is cool, V. I'm sorry that you had to put up with that, honey. Now, alternatively, V can simply do nothing flirtatious or simply reject River's advances as a female V. And in any case, the two will have some drinks, either lemonade or something stronger. And V will wake up in the Kutcher's home the next morning while River is already up and about. He will depart promptly to see Randy in the hospital, but tells V to take their time. Following their night together, with or without romance, River can be called or visited at the Kutcher's home and tells V that knowing his time with the NCPD was at an end, he decided to become a private investigator instead. Although he was still not sure how to market himself, he decided that he would like to specialize in kidnapping to help other families that experienced what happened to him. Please, River, for the love of God, do not market yourself that you specialize in kidnapping.
He's pretty dense, so he may probably end up doing that. He's not the smartest guy. You know what's real funny about this, though, Jen, is that if you do romance him, he becomes a private investigator much sooner. No, sorry. That was a bad
joke. Toasty. That was bad.
I don't know what mood I'm in, but you know, it's now if River was not romanced and the devil ending was chosen, after having the relic surgically removed and seeking support from a friend, V can call River from the Arasaka orbital station. However, River cuts V short, saying that it is a bad time and asks if he can call back. He then hangs up and will not pick up again. He was not romanced in either the devil, the sun, or the star endings were chosen. A video message from River is played during the end credits in which he says he has started to use confiscated goods, including weapons, to equip more people like V, which the city needs.
Yeah, I can see that. A little bit more vigilante.
I mean, he is a private investigator now. He doesn't have the authority of the law as... Right. Minimal as that fucking authority is. Maybe we can join Danger Gal.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So So now that we've talked about what it's like to not romance River, let's get into it and talk about what it is like to romance him. Now, if your V has a feminine body, and regardless of your voice type and genitalia, they can pursue a romantic relationship with River, with only 3 missions, and none of which are part of the main story. River, unfortunately, is the romance option with the shortest storyline.
A little bit of the preface to it. And again, and it may just be because of the short storyline or just like the just overall general lack of content in his storyline. But there are no romantic advances that are made during either I Fought the Law or The Hunt. The first indication of affection is actually given by Joss during dinner. So literally the romance quest line. River then takes V on top of the adjacent water tower. They talk a bit, depending, can flirt, whatnot. River gives V his gun and then will begin to make heavy implications as to the reason he brought her up there.
Eventually, he asks whether he stands a chance, to which V can either react positively, but adding that he better not fall in love with her, to which he responds, too late.
Which paused, because, bro, you need to chill the fuck out. You literally have not made any... You haven't even... This is the first time you're flirting with me, dog. Why are you telling me you're already in love with me?
Trauma bond is heavy, but not
true.
But not like this. This is a little too intense.
Like I get a high like sexual attraction because like y'all have been working very physically together. But as someone who met his now wife doing like actual physical activities, I get that. But the love part does take a while to get to like actual, you know, saying that. And I have like in the relationships I've been in, the I love you has probably come way sooner than it should. But you know, I'm married. I've been married for over 6 years now, so obviously it's working out. But still, it just seems really sudden.
Right? To go from literally within the span of a couple of hours to your sister saying, I like the way he looks at you, to I'm already falling in love with you. Like, there's a lot that is missing from that conversation.
Yeah, I don't know, bro.
Yeah. Don't fall in love, but we can fall into bed. That's how I feel about that right there. Now, if you respond negatively, you can also just say that you want to stay friends. In the former case, where you say, don't fall in love with me, V will then get the option to kiss River, or get a final chance to back down and abort all flirting. Kissing River will initiate a cutscene of both of them passionately kissing and making their way back to the house, sneaking by the sleeping kids, and having really good sex in River's room while trying to stay as quiet as possible.
Now, the next morning, we get one of the funniest lines ever. Johnny appears and comments, Christ, V. Can't believe you're making me fuck a cop. Gotta plug my ears, gouge my eyes. Over some coffee, River asks whether their relationship is going anywhere long term. V can choose to tell River about the relic and her impending death. Eventually, V can choose to kiss River and accept their relationship, or, in my case, reject them, either claiming that it was just a one-night stand, which that feels really shitty. I mean, it's fair. Like, it's in respect if you're just looking for a one-night stand, you know, that's whatever. To which River reacts calmly but disappointed, or that V's condition simply keeps her from making such a commitment, to which River reacts understanding. That's the one I picked, which was a bold-faced lie because it was fully fine going long-term with Judy.
And of course, after this, River can be found at the Kutcher's home. River will also send a couple of romantic text messages to V, one ending with, "I've got a good feeling about this." And, well, I'm just happy. Like, dumb happy, you know? You're really amazing, V. And, of course, we did get the updated Phantom Liberty, "I really want to stay at your house" missions. Which I have not done with River yet. I need to take River on a date back to my house.
Well, I mean, hasn't the only female V you've done is Toast V?
No, I do have another female V that, but I don't know if I've gotten to River yet on that one.
It is kind of later act two, right? So it takes a little bit.
I'll make Toast V go on dates with River anyways.
That's not Toast V. He would never do that.
You already said that you romanced him before and then said that you didn't want to do a commitment.
Which means I didn't go on dates with him. I just fucked him.
Okay, fine. Can I save scum for research?
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
If anyone has done this, you can also go into the Discord and let us know what those missions are like, because yeah, I haven't done them and Jen hasn't done them. So if anyone has any insight, but we still got to talk about the potential endings, because as we know, your romance option can not exactly play a role, but can kind of take part in the endings. Now, if V has romanced River and chooses to contact him to say goodbye at the end of the mission, Nocturne Op 55 in 1, she will refer to him as "that one stubborn badge" towards Johnny, to which he only replies, "mm-hmm." Johnny, not the biggest fan. Different endings with River as romantic partner are then possible, but not all allow you to maintain the relationship.
No, one of the ways to maintain the relationship is to ask Rogue for help. And so opting to the sun ending will result in V waking up in bed in the penthouse together with River. While having coffee, River points out that something has been wrong since V's encounter with Mikoshi. And V insists that there is one last job she needs to do, and that she has to do it without River's help. He then wishes her good luck and promises to wait for her. In a video message during the end credits, River invites V to dinner the following week to celebrate Randy's birthday. Joss and Dorian can be heard in the background, and River points out that it would mean a lot if V could come. Aww.
This is also an option if you end up doing, I can't remember the name of it, but the one where you go in alone.
Oh, the secret ending?
Yeah. So, as long as you take the body and become, you know, the top dog of Night City. if V chooses River for the Arasaka ending, opting for the devil ending also, V can call River from the orbital facility during a "Where Is My Mind?" Which, yeah, that's fucking rough after the whole sequence. The sequence is probably the roughest thing for me to watch in the whole. I've only done it once. I never want to do that ending ever again. It was hard to watch. River keeps being distracted by his nephew, but asks V to give him the name of the orbital station so he can fly up to get them. V does not know anything about the station, and River warns V not to trust Arasaka. He ends the call with, "gonna find you, hear me?" Regardless of whether V then chooses to accept Arasaka's offer or return to Earth, the video message during the end credits is identical to the one played for the sun ending.
Okay. Now, if you opt for the star ending, which is where you say goodbye and leave with Pan Am, It will result in V and River being briefly reunited at the temporary Aldecaldo camp. River came to the camp to talk to V before she heads for the border and leaves the area. Not wishing to abandon Night City's citizens, including his sister Joss and the kids, whom he still felt the need to protect and support. River remarks that what V actually needs is a family, which she's going to get through the Aldecaldos. If she's leaving with them, she now has family.
Like, actually, the unit is called a family. It's actually how it works. V can choose to ask whether he really wants to sacrifice everything for the sake of Night City, to which River replies that V might have found her family with the Aldecaldos, and he likewise needs to be with his own. V can then hug River goodbye, after which he comments, "Think we knew we wouldn't get a happily ever after. Think we both knew." Which is rough, but fair. In a video message during the end credits, River mentions pictures V sent him of the Badlands and says he will visit once Joss gets back on her feet. But, you know, it's fair. At least they still have a pretty nice relationship, you know, even after. But also, River, I don't know if you finished the game, but V doesn't get a happy ending regardless of what they do.
Yeah.
It's just happier.
When we do character deep dives on Carrie and Judy and Pan Am, the breakup scene for me with Carrie is one of my favorite Carrie moments. Like, I don't want to break up with him ever, but he gets so real and emotional about it that it's like, I want that guy to continue being my boyfriend.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But we'll get to that when we get to Carrie. Right now, we still need to know what happens if V reaches Mikoshi, but then gives the body over to Johnny. Don't think Johnny wants to romance River at all. Probably not. Now, opting for the temperance ending and giving your body to Johnny will prevent any further interactions with River during the epilogue. In his video message during the end credits, River says that he has been searching everywhere but cannot find V, adding that it's like you're a ghost. And River ends with a plea for her to call him. Johnny's a dick.
Yeah, Johnny, seriously, bro, you couldn't fucking tell, you can't tell anyone? Can't even leave him like a text, a message, like anything? No? The fuck, bro? Now, if V accepts the Noosa's offer to cure them, opting for the tower ending will see V enter a 2-year coma after undergoing surgery. Upon waking up, V will have the option to call River. At first, River will be angry, believing it to be some kind of joke, but after V has a chance to explain their situation, River will calm down and apologize. When V suggests meeting up, River will tell V he is a wanted man, revealing that he sold classified NCPD information to Trauma Team to pay for Randy's rehab. Too ashamed to face V in person, River will hang up shortly after. Like a fucking bitch.
Oh.
It always makes me salty. It always does.
A little bit, yeah. So what, River? You did some stupid shit, but for a good reason. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Yeah. But you know what? Didn't you miss me? If you and I were still together at the end of this, and I just literally woke up from the dead, are you saying that you're too ashamed to see me? Don't you want me back?
I guess we must have found the mouth of the river because we just got salty.
All right, listeners, that is number 16, I think, is what I'm up to. Yeah, 16 fucking river puns. Congratulations, Toasty. Two of those were mine, though.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's a combined count.
It's just that good alchemy.
It is that good alchemy. Now we can add salt water and river water to the mixtures. Let's see if we can come up with a new potion.
I think to, like, just before we, like, wrap it up, like, in all honesty, it is, I think it shows just the lack of, like, depth of character that we get from this as opposed to, like, some of the other options. River's definitely the one that, like, drew the short straw and all of the romance options, because, like, the two men definitely did, but you, like, still, I feel like you still get way more out of Carrie than you do out of River. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's unfortunate. It's probably why I didn't really feel drawn to him at all. Granted, my bias towards Judy is fucking astronomical, but yeah, I think maybe if we just had more time to, like, get to know him, just, like, even just, like, chill with him, maybe. But yeah.
Yeah, I think
fingers.
I think the fact that there are only the three missions and only literally, like, three lines of flirtatious dialogue before you guys go off and have sex, and then what you can do, like, the flirt, a couple flirty text messages, and then the repeatable date. But the repeatable date really is just the, here's the conversations we would be having if I were to call you randomly. It's just that we're in an apartment together. I would like to know what River's unique action is. With Judy, it was on the pool table. With Carrie, it's the praying. I don't know what Pan Am's is. Oh, it's because I went on a date with Pan Am with my V, but my body mods glitched her out, so she was invisible.
Oh, that's rough.
So I was sitting there on the couch stroking the air above her head, and so it just looked really, really weird. But physicality wise, the same things that happened with Judy on the couch are the same things that happened with Pan Am.
Yeah, I think I've seen clips too. I think River's kind of also the same, so nothing too crazy, but yeah.
River's not the romance for me. His quest lines are fun and interesting, and I definitely will continue to do them in every one of my playthroughs. Yeah. I don't think much more to talk about River about.
I was trying to find out, but one of these, the walkthrough that I went up on or whatever, it literally only has Judy and Pan Am, which is so telling. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Well, Tosi and I will do a little bit more research, or if you know what the River interactions are like on that, go ahead and drop them in the Discord, or you can tweet at us at CyberpunkLore. And of course, you can always find us on patreon.com/cyberpunklorecast. If you want to hear more from me, you can find me on the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer. We do have 4 episodes about cyberpunk characters: River, Carrie, Judy, Pan Am. And each one of those, Carrie didn't have one. But for River, Captain Shanko was our interview subject. For Pan Am and Seven the Legend was our interview subject at the end of that. And of course, Miss Judy had the one and only Toasty on as our interview subject.
Me?
Yeah, you.
It's crazy. I don't know why I did that. Whatever. But if you want more of me being way more locked in than I was this episode, you can catch me too in the Witcher Lorecast, as well as the Cyberpunk Red Light Play podcast, Cyberpunk apostrophe D, that I do with the Fumbling Foreign Almighty Crit Gang. That
of which I am also currently guesting on for the episodes that are coming out during the release frame of these episodes. So,
yep.
And at the end of every episode, we shout out Miracle of Sound and thank him for allowing his music to be used. We use snips and clips from Neon Red, the instrumental remix. So go give him a listen. Of course, while you're out there,
stay safe in Night City.
Stay safe floating on a river. How well do you know your video game lovers?
Have you ever wondered how your video game bays stack up against all the other delectable digital dates?
I'm Genesis, the girl whose motto in life is love, laugh, tequila. And on Two Girls, One Ship, we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer.
And I'm Vervada, the hopeless romantic cat lady and lifelong gamer.
But you should know that our podcast centers on character and romance analysis and doesn't shy away from exploring the fun of physical connection.
Or from the deep emotional connections built between two characters, using specific in-game dialogue and the overall narrative journey. So join the Two Girls, One Ship shipsters, and remember,
beauty is in the eye of the controller.